And now it is time for the Africa Report with Jean-Jacques Cornish. Good morning from our nation's capital in Pretoria, Tshwane. How are you doing, Jean-Jacques?
Bonjour to you. I'm immensely well, thanks. Well,
it must be nice there on Embassy Row there, very close to the Union buildings this time of the year.
Yeah, it is very nice. You get all, but you get everybody with some beef having something to say. The Eritreans outside the Turkish embassy, people. I don't know whether I should go and do something outside the British High Commission and say, take us off the red list. You know, I mean, it's always interesting, though. But yes, it's very nice.
I was once on Embassy Row and in Washington, D.C., and it's actually quite fascinating. Each little building is supposed to represent a little bit of their country. The Mandela statue outside the South African mission in Washington, D.C., it's absolutely it's a tourist attraction in itself. But I digress. Very important issues on the African continent that we need to discuss. The U.S. State Department is saying that money seized from Equatorial Guinea's vice president in America will be used to fund COVID vaccine shots for the people back in his own country of Equatorial Guinea. So finally something coming back to the people of Equatorial Guinea, even though it has to be seized by the United States.
Well, yes. Now we have Theodore Rin, who is the son of Theodoro Obiang Nguema. He was found guilty of embezzlement in France, and last year the court upheld that conviction and fined him 30 million euros. In the United States, he gave up a villa in Malibu and a Ferrari and millions of dollars worth of Michael Jackson memorabilia. This is something quite interesting that vice president of a country should be collecting. But that was all held, and now the U.S. not mincing their words, saying that the ill-gotten gains of kleptocrats will not go back to them, but will go to the people who will use them, and how they going to exactly dispense with this matter. But I mean, it will buy hundreds of thousands of jabs, and it's good news that the United States should be doing this. I know a lot of this money that goes to Switzerland, when the Swiss find it, they send it back, but they make sure that it doesn't go back into corrupt hands, but goes back correctly. So it's not an easy task,
We are focusing a lot today about Rwanda. Firstly, Rwandan refugees in Mozambique who warned police about the threat to kill him has been now killed. This is raising concerns of active targets in the sight of Rwandan President Paul Kagame.
It's interesting, you know, what on earth were the Rwandans doing there? They got there first of all, and they did fight against the jihadis there, but now we see that this rebel cunt, Karimangingo, who was in the army, Rwandan army that was overthrown by Paul Kagame after the genocide in 94, he's become a businessman and was looming large in Mozambique, and he did tell the authorities, well, be careful, these guys are now out to get me. And there's a significant list of Paul Kagame's opponents who have been killed abroad. I mean, in our own country, we have Patrick Karegeya, the man who was hanged with a curtain sash in the Michelangelo Hotel in Johannesburg. And then we have Faustin Kayumba Nyamwasa, the general who also fell out with Kagame, who was shot outside his home, not killed, but shot outside his home in Johannesburg, and that caused South Africa to withdraw their ambassador to Rwanda. So, you know, I mean, there's no doubt that he's absolutely ruthless in pursuit of his critics and enemies, is Paul Kagame, and this is a case in point here, clearly a case in point.
And again, dissidents of the president being targeted. There's been international outrage as another of Paul Kagame's critics, the Hotel Rwanda hero, Paul Rusesabagina. He's sentenced to 25 years after facing terrorism charges in that country.
Well, they say that he was supporting the Rwandan movement for democratic change, a movement that apparently attacked and killed at least 9 Rwandans over the period. But it's interesting, in the court yesterday, the judge saying that it was a first offence and that he was getting on in years, so they would only jail him for 25 years. So, you know, Paul Rusesabagina, he of course was abducted last year. He was flying from Dubai to Burundi on a private flight, and that flight then landed in Rwanda. So he had nothing to do with his trial, said it was an absolute farce and a show trial. And we have the United States, who actually awarded Rusesabagina the Medal of Freedom for the heroism he showed as the manager of the Hotel Mille Collines, the Hotel of the Thousand Hills in Rwanda, in Kagame, in the capital, at the time when, you know, he saved more than 1,200 Tutsis from certain death, you know, by keeping them in the hotel and not letting authorities get to them. But now he walks around in that pink prison garb of the prisoners in Rwanda. If you walk around, you'll see many of the genocidaires are still being held, and they do labor and so on, all in this pink gear. But Rusesabagina's advocate was deported, and another lawyer that was supposed to be looking after him, he wasn't able to contact him, and that's why he just put up his hands and said, "I can have no part in this trial." His family in Belgium, where he's a citizen, are saying he should be freed because he shouldn't have ended up there. I think that there will be some pressure now from the Belgian government. Very interesting to see if the South Africans have anything to say about this, because you know, there's a tricky relationship between South Africa and Rwanda, particularly since Paul Kagame has chosen this country, our own country, as a venue for killing some of his opponents.
The argument from the Kagame government is that Rusesabagina had, in a video — I haven't seen the video, this is just some of the reports and contextualizing — in case that he had called for some form of armed resistance to Kagame's government. What's the basis of that?
I've not heard those. I know he was having become very famous. He did use his to voice his opposition, but you don't need to do anything violent to get a violent response from Paul Kagame. He's a man who will brook no opposition, and has been absolutely ruthless in pursuit of his, not only his political enemies, but just his critics. So I have no doubt in my mind that the trial was a show one, and that it was just an act of vengeance on his part, and a lesson to anybody else: be quiet, don't criticize me, or you're going to face the wrath of, and it's significant as it is, of the Rwandan authorities.
Jean-Jacques Cornish joins me again next week in 7 days' time for our next Africa report. Have a very good day, sir.